Mr. Weatherby.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's figure out, we had a little bit of a mix-up today, but I'm trying to see. I believe I have you, sir, so I will be conducting your hearing this morning. And you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and this is for a revocation hearing. Right now, I'm looking for your paperwork, and it's going to take me just a second. There's always paperwork, sir. And here you are. In any job, yeah, you can see all this paper sitting here, so. Okay, sir. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and this is for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing on February 4th, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember signing that?
Honestly, I really don't, but I remember signing a form.
Okay, it's the form that it said the hearing would be held today. It's that form.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Okay. So the reason this is important is on that form there's a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So which is it today, sir? Would you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself?
I will represent myself.
Okay. That's just fine. Most people do that. So, okay. I would like to introduce you. Okay. I'd like to introduce you to the board members. If you look to your right, so my left at the other end, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him is the Honorable David Neal. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct the hearing today.
Okay.
Okay. So we have Louis Quinones and David Neal. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. Okay, we also have in the room with us today, representing the Department of Corrections. And let me see if I can pull him up here. There he is. We have Mr. Turner. He represents the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent your parole officer. He is a parole officer. He'll represent your parole officer today.
Okay.
So I need to swear to both of you in. So Mr. Turner and Mr. Weatherby, you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, and do you so affirm. Mr. Weatherby?
Yes.
And Mr.
Yes,
Turner?
Yes, ma'am. I do.
Thank you. Mr. Weatherby, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So what I'll do for phase one, Mr. Weatherby, is I'll read you this allegation and I'll need you to respond whether it's true or false. So go ahead and proceed with phase one. And the allegation is that you were in violation of Condition 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer within one working day after your discharge from your approved residence, which was TLC Halfway House at 2202 East Roosevelt in Phoenix, on or about December 13th, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were absconded from supervision. So, Mr. Weatherby, is this true or false?
It is true.
It's true? Okay, sir. Well, then, I'm going to make a motion. In phase two, we're going to ask you to explain. So, let me make a motion and move us from phase one to phase two. Based on Mr. Weatherby's admission, information of the warrant, and testimony from Mr. Turner, I move to find the delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed in the criminal laser company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself. Seconded, Mr. Quinones. Agree, Mr. Neal. Okay, back to you, Mr. Weatherby. We're going to move to phase two of your hearing. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us some background information. So if you'll just stay on the line, just hold on a little bit longer, and we'll be back with you to talk with you some more. But Mr. Turner will give us some background info. Go ahead, Mr. Turner, whenever you're ready.
Yes, ma'am. Weatherby was released from agency custody on 12/13/2018 and arrested on 1/3/2019 by the Phoenix Police Department. No new charges were noted. Did return back to ADC custody on 1/3/2019 with an adjusted CSED of 8/4/2019 with 21 absconded. Current convictions, 2014, dangerous drug violation, 4 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 2010, commitment A, count one, robbery, 1 year, 4 months. 2010, commitment B, count one, criminal trespassing, first degree, 1 year. 2012, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2011, aggravated assault, 7 months. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3.3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. New STG information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2011, TIS release, completed, 2 months. 2012, TIS release, arrested, reinstated, completed, 1 month. 2014, TIS release, completed, 1 month. Disciplinary is moderate with drugs, violence, and promoting contraband noted. Other arrest, 2012, indecent exposure, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2012, assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. He has a GV score of G5V6. He is not registrable, not notifiable, but he is SVP reviewable.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Turner. So back to you, Mr. Weatherby. We have a little summary, a written summary of what occurred while you were on supervision. And it looks like you were approved to live at TLC, which is the place I mentioned in the allegation. But you just left there. What happened? Why'd you leave TLC?
You know, ma'am, I dropped the ball. I just got out I had just been released from SMU, and I sat at the table waiting to be accepted in the office to talk with the representatives there. And while I was there, you know, people were talking about drugs and going and meet people to use drugs. And to be honest with you, I freaked out. And I didn't know what to do, and I didn't say anything. I just walked away and I left. I needed to get away from where I was at because I didn't know what to do. The only thing that I knew what to do was to leave. And later on in that day, I wound up in a psychiatric facility. And I was in the psychiatric facility for maybe 2 weeks, or about 2 weeks. And I got out, and I was really, really scared to call the parole department. I just thought that I was going to go back to prison, and I didn't call when I should have. I just really messed up there, and I should have called.
So, Mr. Weatherby, did somebody take you to the psych facility, or did you go check in yourself, or how'd you get there?
I went to a hospital and went ahead and told them that I was feeling really agitated and suicidal because I was really out of it. And to be honest with you, ma'am, in the very beginning, with when I was dropped off at the parole office, the corrections officers that loaded up your property, they forgot to load up my boxes, which contained my medications for psych.
Oh, and, okay.
With that being said, they said that they'd get it to me the next day or two, and that was one strike on my part, right. Where I just didn't understand what to do.
So did you get your meds back? How did you get, or?
No, I never got my meds back, and I wound up in the psychiatric hospital. That's the reason why I even went. I was really scared.
I understand. Are you on your meds now?
Yes, ma'am.
And you're feeling better?
I'm feeling a little, I'm feeling better, and with that, I'm trying to get with psych as often as I can, and trying to better myself through psych. However, I only get to see one psych rep every 2 to 3 weeks, and I would like to have more options as far as seeing psychiatric, the psych person at least once a week, or have the ready availability to be able to call a psych.
Right.
If I'm in crisis, because a lot of times when I'm in crisis, if I'm in crisis here, a lot of what they do, unfortunately, is send me to a cell and put, make me take my clothes off and put me in a cell right. by myself naked, and I right. don't really get to talk to psych very often. And what I propose is, can I make one exception? The robbery that I was convicted of was attempted robbery. I mean, that's just hearsay.
Okay.
I mean, it's not, it is what it is, though.
Okay.
But anyhow, while I was out there, what was the question you asked, ma'am?
A long time ago, just how you got to the psych facility, and if you're on your meds now. I just want to make sure you're feeling okay.
Okay. I got to the psych facility, and I'm feeling better as of right now. However, at the medical here, no offense to them, but a lot of times they're missing my medication, and they ordered it, and then sometimes it doesn't come when it's supposed to on time. That's with Horizon, not with the DOC, and it's becoming quite it's stressful, and to say the least. Also, while I was out there, in my favor, I obtained an Arizona state identification
good.
Card, and I also got a social security card.
Good.
And I really was doing what I was supposed to, even though I was in violation. I knew I was in violation, and that's where I messed up at. I was so scared being released from SMU that I was going to wind up right back in SMU and then go right back. And I don't know why, but I was scared.
So, sir, did you talk to your parole officer? Did you ever meet him, or...?
I met him that day.
And that was it?
I was released, and that was it. That's where I messed up.
Because they really, I'm telling you, Mr. Weatherby, they really want to work with you. They want you to be successful out there. So really, that he should have been your first call, because he would have helped
yes,
you.
Ma'am.
Whatever was going on with you, he would have helped you. So keep
yes.
that in mind. Remember that, in case you ever have this. Hopefully you won't ever have this again, but... you
no.
know, just in case, they're really there to help you, so be sure to,
yes,
to keep that in mind.
I didn't use any street drugs.
Okay.
I stayed clean.
You knew my next question. That was what I was going to ask, is if you'd used, has you used drugs in the past?
I have in the past, a lot of times when I used it, I was in crisis, and I just didn't know where to turn to, so I just started using. I started using drugs to try to. Honestly, it's a crutch, and I was using it to try and make myself better. And it, honestly, what it did was make me worse. And then I wound up in a psych ward anyway.
Okay, well, Mr. Weatherby, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have a question. Anybody have a question? Okay, Mr. Weatherby, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the chance to make a final statement. Is there anything else while you've been talking, just without repeating something you've already told us? Anything else?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Now's your chance.
I have available to me $1,400 as of right now out there waiting for me. I'll be able to find my own food, my own shelter, and I won't have to depend on going to a halfway house or have to depend on going someplace in order to make myself feel like, or not make myself, but to feel like overwhelmed over some of the obstacles that surround the halfway house facility. And with that, I'll be able to find a home of my own. What I'll probably do in the very beginning is go to a psychiatric facility and use that time to better myself and to get on the medication that they're going to have for me out there, which is different than the medication they have for me here. It's a little different. And then I'll be stabilized, and I'll be able to, with their help, be able to find a better facility that I'll be able to live in as far as my own place with my own food. And I'll also have better psychiatric text that will be on the ready as far as if I have any kind of crisis, and I have my own food. But with that, I appreciate the moment to be able to stand here and speak, or sit here and speak to you, and I appreciate your whatever outcome that I have. I know I don't have a long time before it's over, but I was sure I got a chance.
Do you receive SSI, or do you work, or?
I receive SSDE. That same thing as Social Security income. Because I also am legally blind, and I will be. I get a monthly check for that, which will help me pay for my bills, and I also will receive food stamps. I mean, I will be on fixed income, which is already in place. I'll be able to have my own home, I'll be able to earn my own apartment, my own everything. So that's what I'll have. And with the help of the Psytex, I'll be able to find my own place.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your statement. And the board is going to go into discussion. We do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So if you just stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be right back with you in just a moment.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sir, thank you. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Weatherby seems to have a pretty good handle, I think, on his own condition, which is, medical condition and his mental health status. And he does have some funds. I'm not sure that the amount of funds he has will last very long in this world. But he does have a little bit of income as well. I'm just thinking that the best thing for him, and I know he says he's not receiving extremely good care there, and he'd like to see a psych more often, and I'd like that for him too. But I'm not sure that's going to happen. But I think the safest place for him to remain is to stay right where he is and finish his sentence. And then he'll be able to get out. By then he'll have maybe a little more money accumulated. And he'll be able to get out and get his own apartment. And I do think he'll succeed. He just needs to stay away from the drugs. But I've listened to any input from fellow board members. Any thoughts? I'm going to make a motion that, based on information of warrant 2018W3761, a conversation with Mr. Weatherby, and information provided by Mr. Turner. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Weatherby was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had Baxter was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for some 21 days, during which time his parole officer could not monitor his activity.
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded. Mr. Nero, agreed. Mr. Kenyans. Okay, Mr. Weatherby, you had the board's discussion. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. And, you know, we have to make some tough decisions sometimes. And I know you're not seeing the psych as often as you'd like to in there. But when you're done, in August, you'll be done. There won't be a parole officer to worry about. In the meantime, we know you're safe, you're in there, you've got a place to stay at night, and we certainly wish you the best. You've been most respectful in this hearing, and we always appreciate that, sir. So thank you very much. We wish you the best. I think you do have a good handle on your meds and your whole situation. I'm just really proud of you for getting your driver's license and your Social Security card. That was a big thing. That was a big thing, an important thing to do. So thank you very much for participating in your hearing, sir. And if you just lay the phone down, don't hang it up on the cradle. Lay it down on the table. Let that CO3 know that you're finished. Okay, sir?
Okay. Thank you for your time and thank you for your outcome.
Thank you, and good luck, Mr. Weatherby.
Thank you, Matt.
Mm-hmm.